Hello, this is Beatrice Pavia with the Tuesday edition of the Danville Commercial News, February 20th, 2018. We're going to begin kind of an unusual way with a sports story because our local Danville Schlarman Hilltoppers are going to the finals in state basketball. So the title of the headline is Hilltoppers Climb Final Obstacle to Normal. It's datelined Pontiac. Two of the best teams in the state in Class 1A went head-to-head on Monday night in the IHSA Super Sectional, and the Danville Schlarman Hilltoppers finally cleared another hurdle between them and a state championship, defeating defending champion in Class 1A Annawan 43-36 at Pontiac Township High School in Pontiac. The Hilltoppers and the Bravettes have had a history amongst themselves the past couple of years, with Annawan being the only team to defeat the Hilltoppers this season, a 56-46 loss in the championship game of the 2017 State Farm Holiday Classic back in December. Conversely, the last time Annawan tasted defeat was to Schlarman, who defeated the Bravettes in the 2016 State Farm Holiday Classic, so there was plenty at stake for both teams. The win earns Schlarman their first trip to the Class 1A State Tournament Final Four, which will begin on Friday afternoon at Redbird Arena in Normal. Led by junior Anaya Peoples, who scored a game-high 24 points, the Hilltoppers, with a record of 31-1, jumped out to an early 4-0 lead, only to see the Bravettes storm back to cut the lead to 6-5 after one quarter of play. The two teams played evenly in the second quarter, with Schlarman taking a 20-18 lead into the halftime locker room. One of the keys for the Hilltoppers was stopping Annawan's post player, J.D. Van Heift, the senior who was headed to Arizona State to continue her basketball career. Van Heift scored 32 points in their first meeting of the season, so containing her was the number one concern for Schlarman head coach Keith Peoples. Peoples said of their plan of action for Van Heifte, "She is a phenomenal player, and our game plan was to minimize her touches, and those times that she did touch the ball, make it a challenge for her to get easy buckets." Van Heifte ended up with 14 points, scoring 10 of those in the first half. Capria Brown scored 9 points for the Hilltoppers, while Sidley Girard added 4 before fouling out in the fourth quarter. Only two other Schlarman players scored in the game, as Tana Cedar and McKaylee Allen each netted 3 points apiece. Schlarman got themselves into some foul trouble, as Brown and Peoples both played with 3 fouls apiece for much of the second half. However, Peoples knew that she had to be careful with her defense as not to complicate that situation further. She said, "I had to watch myself and pick and choose when I wanted to go for the ball, because knowing that I had 3 fouls on me made me more cognizant in what I needed to do," she said about her defensive prowess with the 3 fouls. The Hilltoppers shot 15 of 33, 45% for the game, but struggled from long range, making just 2 of 12, 17% from beyond the arc. Schlarman was 11 of 15 from the foul line, including some huge shots down the stretch by Peoples, who finished 5 of 7 from the line herself for the game. "I am so proud of my teammates, and we have worked very hard for this, but this game isn't what we came here for, because we still have 2 more games to reach the destination that we want," Peoples added about her team's effort and the feeling of getting past the Super Sectional for the first time. Annawan, who sees their fine season come to an end at 34-1, was led in scoring by Kendall Gripp with 15 points, and only 3 other Bravettes scored in the game, with Jordan Searns adding 3 points, while Keegan Rico and Kaylee Jackson each scored 2 points apiece. Annawan shot 13 of 34, 38% from the field, but just 1 to 11 from three-point range. The Bravettes didn't help themselves at the free-throw line either, making 7 of 15 from the stripe. Anouan was 0 of 4 down the stretch, including two crucial misses by Sirens with 39 seconds left and her team down by just 3 points. Coach People says that he has been waiting for this moment for a long time, and now that the moment is here, he can breathe a huge sigh of relief. I have been waiting for this moment since the class of 2019 last won their middle school state championship. That team had tremendous expectations, and I am so happy for them, our fans, and the student body of Schlarman as a whole, Peoples remarked about what he was feeling after seeing his team cut down yet another net. Schlarman will face Lebanon on Friday afternoon in Normal, with Stockton and Bethany of Okaw Valley facing off in the first semifinal Friday morning at 11 a.m. The winners of the two games will then battle for the Class 1A state final on Saturday at 1 p.m., while the two teams that lose will meet for the third place game on Saturday at 11 a.m. Now we're going to go to the front page of the Danville Commercial News with a story titled Old Treasures Antique Mall Opens in Belgium. It is datelined Belgium. A vignette with retro kitchenware in red from the 1950s grabs attention upon entering the Belgium Antique Mall. The booth space is one of 15 that are now open in the area's newest antiques venue at 3015 Georgetown Road, which is the large blue building that formerly was the Belgium Banquet Hall. "We put it together in October," said Rick Roach, who runs the antique mall with a partner. 15 booths are occupied, but we have room for 20 more. The mall, which boasts 17,000 square feet of showroom floor space, is a collection of many items. Roach said, "We have nicer pieces of second-time-around furniture. We have some vintage, antiques, collectibles, and repurposed." One booth is full of red and white enamelware and small kitchenware pieces in red. Another booth has holiday items, and yet another is chock full of fiesta ware and dishes in Jewel Tea's autumn leaf pattern. Along the back wall, a row of 7 large glass cases provides a secure area for vendors who have small items or jewelry to display. Roach said, "We buy antiques. We would take a look if someone brought in some antiques. We are always looking for vendors and wheeling and dealing." The antique mall hours are 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 5 p.m. Sunday. The Belgium Antique Mall also has a Facebook page. Roach said he's pleased to be part of the local antique scene that has sprung up in Danville in the last several years. He said, "We're trying to help the smaller community south of Danville by driving traffic this way. We're also open 7 days a week and trying to stay open late for people who get off work and want to come by." Roach sees the business eventually expanding to hold tag sales and other events. Right now, a private room with concessions available may be rented for meetings, activities, and small gatherings. Vendors interested in renting booth space should call Roach for prices, booth sizes, and availability at 267-2141. We have two little items from small towns in the area. This one is from Georgetown. Melrose Pyrotechnics will provide Georgetown's 4th of July fireworks the next 2 years. The city already has a contract in place for 2018, but the second deal locks in this year's price of $6,700 for 2019. And in Tilton, the village board approved hiring the Brat Pack to play during this year's Redneck Games at a cost of $3,500. Also okayed, 20 new digital radios for the fire and ambulance service, public works, and village hall at a total cost of $13,781. This front page story is headlined, "Event to Highlight Health Careers." It's Dateline Danville. More than 100 area high school sophomores will learn about possible careers in the healthcare field during an event Friday morning at Danville Area Community College. The first Health Professions Day has been scheduled for 9 to 11 a.m. Friday throughout the Mary Miller Complex. K-12 Kathy Sturgeon, who is Dean of Math, Sciences, and Health Professions at DACC, said the idea of introducing area high school students to a wide array of healthcare professions is something that she has thought about for years. She said, "This has been brewing for several years. One of the largest growing career sectors is in the health professions. There's constant growth, but when I go out in the schools, so few students know what echocardiography is and what to do if you want to follow in that career. It's something that we have wanted to offer, so I started planning it," she said of the Health Professions Day event. About 105 sophomores from Danville, Armstrong, Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Allen, Georgetown, Ridge Farm, Oakwood, and Salt Fork will participate in 3 of 12 different 20-minute presentations given in classrooms and labs all over the Mary Miller Complex. Each of the high school groups participating in the presentations will be connected with a DACC student, most likely a first-year radiology technology student, who will act as a mentor and make sure the student groups find their way around the Mary Miller Complex. Sturgeon said, their college student will be walking them around the building. The presentations will cover the areas of nursing, sonography, echocardiography, emergency medical technician, certified nursing assistant, radiology, mental health, certified medical assistant, and bioengineering. Sturgeon said, students will be introduced to these careers. We picked a young age because in a lot of these areas, you have to start coursework early. Some of the presentations that day will be interactive, such as interacting with a high-fidelity mannequin that the students can speak to and take the mannequin's blood pressure or learning to code for insurance billing purposes. The emergency medical technician presentation will include a tour of an ambulance on the premises. She said, they will also learn how to operate some of the medical equipment. In addition, Sturgeon said the event will incorporate campus-wide integration with other college disciplines, citing examples such as mental health being a part of the liberal arts curriculum and certified medical assistant being a part of business because of its office component. Following the event, the participating high school students will be sent information to their home that will direct them to an internet hub where they can learn more about health professions and what DACC has to offer, Sturgeon said. We hope to make it an annual event, she said. And here are a few more community briefs. This one is from Danville. Museum seeks volunteers. The Vermilion County War Museum at 307 North Vermilion Street seeks volunteers to be greeters, tour guides, or even an extra set of hands on days we have many visitors or even those who would occasionally like to help with light clerical work. Those with special skills, such as carpentry, electrical, and other, are welcome. Volunteers are especially needed on Saturdays. To learn more or to sign up, stop in the museum from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. February 24th, when volunteers will be on hand to answer questions. The museum is open noon to 4, Tuesday through Friday, and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturdays. For information, contact the museum at 217-431-0034 or by emailing vcwm@comcast.net. This brief is from Catlin. Catlin United Methodist Church at 106 West Vermilion Street plans a roast beef dinner for 5 to 7 p.m. on March 2nd. A free will offering will be collected. Carryouts will be available. And in Covington, Indiana, the Covington Alumni Association seeks nominations for the 2018 Wall of Fame. 3 people will be honored. The deadline is April 15. Nominations can be made by calling Harry Hoagland at 497-1180 or 765-793-7315 for a form, by visiting www.covington.k12.in.us or www.covingtonalum.com, or by checking out the Covington High School Alumni Association Facebook. Nomination forms also are available at the Covington High School office from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday, and at Dale's Barbershop, Klingon's Auction and Real Estate, Covington Community Foundation, and Fountain Trust, and the Old National and Center Bank. Now we are going to read a few obituaries. The first one is for Anna Marie Hall. Anna Marie Hall, age 78, of rural Vetersburg, Indiana, passed away at 4:18 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Saturday, February 17, 2018, at Williamsport Nursing and Rehab with her family by her side. Funeral service is 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Wednesday, February 21st, at Dickerson Funeral Home in Vetersburg, with Pastor Tim Lyons officiating. Visitation will be noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Wednesday, at the funeral home. Burial will be at Rockfield Cemetery near Vetersburg. Online condolences are at www.dickersonfuneralhome.com. Dora M. Jacobson. Dora M. Jacobson, age 91, of Danville, passed away Sunday, February 18, 2018. Visitation will be 10 to 11:30 a.m. Thursday, February 22nd, at Pape Family Funeral Home at 10 East Williams Street in Danville. Service will follow at 11:30 a.m. Thursday at Pape's, with Pastor Matt Stump officiating. Burial will follow at Walnut Corner Cemetery. Messages and memories may be left on our website at www.papefuneralhome.com or on the Pape Funeral Home Facebook page. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made in Dora's name to Bismarck United Methodist Church, located at 204 South Chicago Street in Bismarck, 61814. Richard Simonton. Richard P. Dick Simonton, age 73, of West Lebanon, Indiana, passed away after a brief illness at 8:38 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sunday, February 18, 2018, at Williamsport Nursing and Rehab. Visitation will be from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Wednesday, February 21st, at Grady Funeral Home in Williamsport. Services will be there at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Thursday, February 22nd, with grandson Michael Garrison officiating. Interment will follow at West Lebanon Cemetery in West Lebanon with full military honors. Online condolences may be made at www.gradyfuneralhome.com. Evelyn Kennedy McMasters. Evelyn A. Kennedy McMasters, age 84, passed away Sunday, February 18, 2018, at Parkview Nursing Home in Attica, Indiana. A celebration of life service will be at 2 p.m. Thursday, February 22nd, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Officiating will be Reverend Michael Heidel. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Visitation from 1 to 2 p.m. Thursday prior to services at the funeral home. Memorial donations may be made to Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Danville. Please join Evelyn's family in sharing memories, photos, and videos on her tribute wall at www.sunsetfuneralhome.com. This is a police story, headlined, Police Impersonator Arrested in Paris, datelined Paris. An armed man who walked into the Edgar County Sheriff's Office over the weekend claiming to be a federal agent found himself behind bars, police said. Justin Hefner, age 40, of Terre Haute, Indiana, entered the office on Saturday in Paris, saying he was a Department of Defense investigator, police said. He asked to speak with the deputy regarding help with arrests, according to the Sheriff's Department. Deputies were concerned because Hefner entered the building carrying a pistol in a holster, wearing two layers of body armor and a badge, which they said was partially covered with an American flag. Deputies knew that Hefner had a history of impersonating police officers, and they convinced him they believed him to be a lawman, according to a Sheriff's Department news release. The deputies got Hefner to secure his gun and remove his body armor, and that's when they found he was also carrying handcuffs and mace. The deputies also contacted the Paris Police Department for help. Hefner was arrested with further incident on charges of impersonating an officer, unlawful use of a weapon, and unlawful possession of body armor. Deputies said they searched the Hummer that Hefner was driving and found another badge, an unloaded AR-15 rifle with a bump stock, and several loaded magazines. The vehicle also had flashing lights and a dash cam. Hefner is being held in lieu of $20,000 bail, pending an initial court appearance. Court records show that he is under a protective order granted last week at the request of a 42-year-old Paris man. He faces a March 5th preliminary hearing for what court records describe as a verified petition for stalking. Hefner is listed as the administrator of a Facebook page called Constitutional Wounded Warriors. Online directories show that he previously lived in several other communities, including Paris and Jacksonville, Indiana. And here is a story from the National page, headlined Potential Collision Course. Students and the President hold differing views on gun control. It's Dateline Parkland, Florida. Student survivors of the deadly Florida school shooting, who hope to become the face of a revived gun control movement, are on a potential collision course with President Donald Trump. Several of the students have criticized the president, whose election was strongly supported by the National Rifle Association, and who ran on a platform opposing gun control. Trump spent the weekend at his estate in South Florida, only an hour's drive from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, where 17 people were fatally shot last week. His only mentions of the massacre came in tweets Saturday, contending that the FBI was too focused on the Russia investigation to respond to warnings about the alleged shooter, and mocking Democrats for failing to pass gun control. "You are the president. You are supposed to bring this nation together, not divide us," said David Hogg, a 17-year-old student at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in South Florida, speaking on NBC's Meet the Press. "How dare you," he added. After more than a day of criticism from the students, the White House said the president would hold a listening session with unspecified students Wednesday and meet Thursday with state and local security officials. Florida politicians, meanwhile, scrambled to produce legislation in response to the February 14th attack that killed 17 people. Nicholas Cruz, a 19-year-old who had been expelled from the school, is being held without bail in the Broward County Jail, accused of 17 counts of first-degree murder. In a television interview, Republican Senator Marco Rubio embraced a Democratic bill in the Florida legislature to allow courts to temporarily prevent people from having guns if they are determined to be a threat to themselves or others. Governor Rick Scott, also a Republican, attended a prayer vigil at the First Church Coral Springs, blocks from the shooting site. He is expected to announce a legislative package with GOP lawmakers this week. Emma Gonzalez, another student survivor, gave an impassioned speech at a weekend rally with a stinging citation of the NRA's $30 million in expenditures on Trump's behalf in the presidential election. On Sunday, she cited Trump, Rubio, and Scott by name in a warning to politicians backed by the NRA. She said on Meet the Press, "Now is the time to get on the right side of this, because this is not something that we are going to let sweep under the carpet." Seeking to increase pressure for gun control, the students plan to visit the state capitol in Tallahassee this week to demand immediate action. They are also calling for anti-gun violence demonstrations in Washington and other cities on March 24th. Organizers behind the Women's March, an anti-Trump and female empowerment protest, called for a 17-minute nationwide walkout by teachers and students on March 14th. Chris Grady, a 19-year-old senior at the Florida school, was one of several students at Sunday's rally near the campus. He said, "The kids in Newtown were too young to understand what happened, and they were too young to have their own voice." He was referring to the 20 first graders killed in the 2012 Connecticut school shooting. "We want to be the voice for those kids and thousands of others." Not every student at this Florida school was calling for more gun control. James Caramello, a freshman in the school's junior ROTC program, was heartbroken by the massacre, but skeptical that firearms regulations could have prevented it. "He is just messed up," he said of Cruz, another JROTC member. "I mean, tighter gun control, it's not going to help. There's always a way around it." School and government records obtained Sunday show that Cruz was diagnosed as developmentally delayed at age 3 and had disciplinary issues dating to middle school. And here is a question from the Annie Lane column, kind of like a Dear Abby. It says, "Dear Annie, I am writing because I have seen several people write to you to complain of friends or relatives who repeat stories. My elder brother shared this helpful hint with me when I was caring for my 88-year-old father and 90-year-old uncle. Each time you are listening to a repeated story, you must come up with a different question to ask about that story. Because you have heard it before, you don't need to listen as intently, and it keeps you from becoming aggravated as your mind is distracted with trying to come up with a new question. It also makes them happy because they're able to tell their stories and not be dismissed. It worked wonders for me and the people with whom I have shared this hint. I thought that there are others out there who could use this tool." And Annie replies, "I love this because it's a way to improve our listening skills and become more compassionate. Thanks for sharing." And this has been Beatrice Pavia with the Tuesday edition of the Danville Commercial News, February 20, 2018. I look forward to reading with you again soon.